Squirrel will say something about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, sure. He will. He will.
Decidedly Christian, distinctly biblical, and just a little bit nuts. This is Squirrel Chatter.
And welcome to the Piney Woods, ladies and gentlemen. I am your squirrel, the host, coming to you from the ARN studios, high atop the tallest tree in the Piney Woods. Good to have you with us here this morning. It is Tuesday, September 13th, 2022. And this is Squirrel Chatter, a podcast dedicated primarily to the public reading of scriptures and secondarily to my thoughts on various topics of the day. We are reading our way through the entire Bible in the Legacy Standard Bible translation this year. And today our scripture reading is Isaiah 49 through 52, Psalm 69, and 1 Corinthians 14. Also, we are in our second week now of looking in depth at the Frankfurt Declaration. So we are going to be looking at Article 2 today of the Frankfurt Declaration of the Church and Christian Liberty, or Christian and Civil Liberty. What is the what is the exact title? Scroll down to where it is. Okay, it's the Frankfurt Declaration of Christian and Civil Liberties. And we are looking at that in depth because I think it's a very important statement for our time. Our scripture reading today? Isaiah 49 through 52, Psalm 69, and 1 Corinthians 14. And, yeah, the look at the Frankfurt Declaration. I guess I did cover all that, didn't I? All right, well, let's begin, as is our habit, with the prayer of confession from the 1552 Book of Common Prayer. Almighty and most merciful Father, we have erred and strayed from thy ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against thy holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done, and we have done those things which we ought not to have done, and there is no health in us. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us miserable offenders. Spare thou them, O God, which confess their faults. Restore thou them that are penitent, according to thy promises declared unto mankind in Christ Jesus our Lord. And grant, O most merciful Father, for his sake, that we may hereafter live a godly, righteous, and sober life, to the glory of thy holy name. Amen. And now the prayer for our reading of the word. Blessed Lord, who hast caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which thou hast given us in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, now Isaiah chapter 49. Listen to me, O coastlands, and pay attention, you peoples from afar. Yahweh called me from the womb. From the body of my mother he made my name to be remembered. He has set my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand he has concealed me. And he has also set me as a select arrow. He has hidden me in his quiver. He said to me, "You are my servant Israel, in whom I will show forth my bountiful glory, my beautiful glory." But I said, "I have toiled in vain. I have spent my might for nothing in vanity. Yet surely the justice due to me is with Yahweh, and my reward with my God." So now says Yahweh, who formed me from the womb to be his servant, to return Jacob back to him, so that Israel might be gathered to him. For I am glorified in the sight of Yahweh, and my strength, and my God is my strength. He says, "It is too small a thing that you should be my servant, to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to cause the preserved ones of Israel to return. I will also give you as a light of the nations, so that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. Thus says Yahweh, the Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One, to the despised one, to the one abhorred by the nation, to the servant of rulers. Kings will see and arise, princes will also bow down, because of Yahweh, who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you. Thus says Yahweh, In an acceptable time I have answered you, and in a day of salvation I have helped you. And I will guard you and give you for a covenant of the people, to establish the land, to make them inherit the desolate inheritance, saying to those who are bound, go forth. To those who are in darkness, show yourselves. Along the roads they will feed, and their pastures will be on all bare heights. They will not hunger or thirst, nor will the scorching heat or sun strike them down. For he who has compassion on them will guide them, and will lead them to springs of water. I will set my mountains as a road, and my highways will be raised up. Behold, these will come from afar, and behold, these will come from the north and from the west, and these from the lands of Sinim. Shout for joy, O heavens! Rejoice, O earth! Break forth into joyful shouting, O mountains! For Yahweh has comforted his people, and will have compassion on his afflicted. But Zion said, Yahweh has forsaken me, and the Lord has forgotten me. Can a woman forget her infant, and have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget, but I will not forget you. Behold, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands, and your walls are continually before me. Your builders hurry, your destroyers and devastators will depart from you. Lift up your eyes and look around. All of them gather together. They come to you, as I live, declares Yahweh. You will surely put on all of them as jewels and bind them on as a bride. For your devastated and desolate places and your destroyed land, surely now you will be too cramped for the inhabitants, and those who swallowed you will be far away. The children of whom you were bereaved will yet say in your ears, the place is too cramped for me. Make room for me that I may live here. Then you will say in your heart, who has borne these for me? Indeed, I have been bereaved of my children, and am barren, an exile and wanderer. And who has reared these? Behold, I remained alone. From where did these come? Thus says Lord Yahweh, behold, I will lift up my hand to the nations and make my high standard to the peoples, and they will bring your sons in your bosom and your daughters will be lifted up on their shoulders. Kings will be your guardians and their princesses your nurses. They will bow down to you with their faces to the earth and lick the dust of your feet, and you will know that I am Yahweh. Those who hope in me will not be put to shame. Can the prey be taken from the mighty man, or the captives of the righteous be granted escape? Surely, thus says Yahweh, even the captives of the mighty man will be taken away, and the prey of the tyrant will be granted escape. For I will contend with the one who contends with you, and I will save your sons. I will feed those who mistreat you with their own flesh, and they will become drunk with their own blood as with sweet wine. And all flesh will know that I, Yahweh, am your Savior and your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. Chapter 50. Thus says Yahweh, where is the certificate of divorce by which I have sent your mother away? Or to which of my creditors did I sell you? Behold, you were sold for your iniquities, and for your transgressions your mother was sent away. Why was there no man when I came, when I called? Why was there none to answer? Is my hand so short that it cannot ransom? Or have I no power to deliver? Behold, I dry up the sea with my rebuke. I make the rivers a wilderness. Their fish stink for lack of water and die of thirst. I clothe the heavens with blackness and make sackcloth their covering. Lord Yahweh has given me the tongue of disciples, that I may know how to sustain the weary one with a word. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to listen as a disciple. Lord Yahweh has opened my ear. I did not rebel, nor did I turn back. I gave my back to those who strike me, and my cheeks to those who pluck out the beard. I did not hide my face from dishonor and spitting. Even now Lord Yahweh helps me. Therefore I am not dishonored. Therefore I have set my face like flint, and I know that I will not be ashamed. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up to each other. Who has judgment against me? Let him approach me. Behold, Lord Yahweh helps me. Who is he who condemns me? Behold, They will all wear out like a garment. The moth will eat them. Who is among you that fears Yahweh, that listens to the voice of his servant, that walks in darkness and has no light? Let him trust in the name of Yahweh and rely on his God. Behold, all you who kindle a flame, who gird yourselves with firebrands, walk in the light of your fire, and among the brands you have set ablaze. This you will have from my hand. You will lie down in torment. Chapter 51. Listen to me, you who pursue righteousness, who seek Yahweh. Look to the rock from which you were hewn and to the quarry from which you were dug. Look to Abraham your father and to Sarah who brought you forth through labor pains. When he was but one, I called. Then I blessed him and multiplied him. Indeed, Yahweh will comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places, and her wilderness he will make like Eden, and her desert like the garden of Yahweh. Joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving and sound of a melody. Pay attention to me, O my peoples, and give ear to me, O my nation. For a law will go forth from me, and I will set my justice for a light of the peoples. My righteousness is near, my salvation has gone forth, and my arms will judge the peoples. The coastlands will hope in me, and for my arm they will wait expectantly. Lift up your eyes to the sky, then look to the earth beneath, for the sky will vanish like smoke, and the earth will wear out like a garment, and its inhabitants will die in like manner, but my salvation will be forever, and my righteousness will not be dismayed. Listen to me, you who know righteousness, a people in whose heart is my law. Do not fear the reproach of man, nor be dismayed at their revilings. For the moth will eat them like a garment, and the grub will eat them like wool. But my righteousness will be forever, and my salvation to all generations. Awake, awake, put on strength, O arm of Yahweh. Awake as in the days of old, the generations of long ago. Was it not you who chopped Rahab in pieces, who pierced the dragon? Was it not you who dried up the sea, the waters of the great deep, who made the depths of the sea a pathway for the redeemed to cross over? So the ransom of Yahweh will return and come with joyful shouting to Zion, and everlasting gladness will be on their heads. They will obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. I, even I, am he who comforts you. Who are you that you are afraid of man who dies, and of the son of man who is made like grass? That you have forgotten Yahweh your Maker, who stretched out the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth, that you tremble in dread continually all day long because of the wrath of the one who brings distress, as he makes ready to bring ruin. But where is the wrath of the one who brings distress? The one in chains will soon be set free and will not die in the pit, nor will his bread be lacking. For I am Yahweh your God, who stirs up the sea, and its waves roar. Yahweh of hosts is his name. I have put my words in your mouth and have covered you with the shadow of my hand to establish the heavens, to found the earth, and to say to Zion, you are my people. Awaken, awaken yourself, arise, O Jerusalem. You who have drunk from the hand of Yahweh the cup of his wrath, the chalice of reeling you have drained to the dregs. There is none to guide her among all the sons she has borne, nor is there one to take hold of her by the hand among all the sons she has reared. These two things have befallen you. Who will counsel you? The devastation and destruction, famine and sword. How shall I comfort you? Your sons have fainted. They lie helpless at the head of every street, like an antelope in a net, full of the wrath of Yahweh, the rebuke of your God. Therefore now listen to this, you afflicted, who are drunk but not with wine. Thus says your Lord Yahweh, even your God who contends for his people. Behold, I have taken out of your hand the cup of reeling, the chalice of my wrath. You will never drink it again. I will set it into the hand of those who cause you grief, who have said to you, lie down that we may walk over you. You have even set your back down like the ground and like the street for those who walk over it. Awake, awake. Clothe yourself in strength, O Zion. Clothe yourself in your glorious garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. for the uncircumcised and the unclean will no longer come into you. Shake yourself from the dust. Rise up, O captive Jerusalem. Loose yourself from the chains around your neck, O captive daughter of Zion. For thus says Yahweh, you were sold for nothing, and you will be redeemed without money. For thus says Lord Yahweh, my people went down at the first into Egypt to sojourn there. Then the Assyrian oppressed them without cause. So now, what do I have here, declares Yahweh, since my people have been taken away for nothing? Yahweh declares, those who rule over them howl, and my name is continually blasphemed all day long. Therefore, my people shall know my name. Therefore, in that day, I am the one who is speaking. Here I am. How lovely on the mountains are the feet of him who proclaims good news, who announces peace and proclaims good news of good things, who announces salvation and says to Zion, your God reigns. The voice of your watchmen, they lift up their voices, they shout joyfully together, for they will see with their own eyes when Yahweh returns to Zion. Break forth, shout joyfully together, you waste places of Jerusalem. For Yahweh has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. Yahweh has bared his holy arm in the sight of all the nations, that all the ends of the earth may see the salvation of our God. Depart, depart, go out from there, touch nothing unclean. Go out of the midst of her, purify yourselves, you who carry the vessels of Yahweh. But you will not go out in haste, nor will you go as those who flee. For Yahweh will go before you, and the God of Israel will be your rear guard. Behold, my servant will prosper. He will be high and lifted up and greatly exalted, just as many were appalled at you, my people. So his appearance was marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. Thus he will sprinkle many nations. Kings will shut their mouths on account of him, for what had not been told them they will see, and what they had not heard, they will understand. Now Psalm 69. For the choir director, according to Shoshanim of David, save me, O God, for the waters have threatened my life. I have sunk in deep clay, and there is no foothold. I have come into deep waters, and a flood overflows me. I am weary with my calling out. My throat is parched. My eyes fail while I wait for my God. Those who hate me without cause are more than the hairs of my head. Those who would destroy me are powerful, being wrongfully my enemies. What I did not steal, I then have to restore. O God, it is you who knows my folly, and all my guilt is not hidden from you. May those who hope for you not be ashamed through me, O Lord Yahweh of hosts. May those who seek you not be dishonored through me, O God of Israel. Because of your sake I have borne reproach. Dishonor has covered my face. I have become estranged from my brothers and a foreigner to my mother's sons. For zeal your house has consumed me, and the reproaches of those who reproach you have fallen on me. When I wept in my soul with fasting, it became my reproach. When I made sackcloth my clothing, I became a byword to them. Those who dwell at the gate moan about me, and I am the drunkard's songs. But as for me, my prayer is to you, O Yahweh, at an acceptable time. O God, in the abundance of your loving kindness, answer me with the truth of your salvation. Deliver me from the mire, and do not let me sink. May I be delivered from my foes and from the deep waters. May the flood of water not overflow me, nor the deep swallow me up, nor the pit shut its mouth on me. Answer me, O Yahweh, for your loving kindness is good. According to the abundance of your compassion, turn to me, and do not hide your face from your slave. For I am in distress. Answer me quickly. Oh, draw near to my soul and redeem it. Ransom me because of my enemies. You know my reproach and my shame and dishonor. All my adversaries are before you. Reproach has broken my heart, and I am so sick. And I hoped for sympathy, but there was none, and for comforters, but I found none. They also gave me gall for my food, and for my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. May their table before them become a snare, and when they are in peace, may it become a trap. May their eyes darken so that they cannot see, and make their loins quake continually. Pour out your indignation upon them, and may your burning anger overtake them. May their camp be desolate, may none dwell in their tents, for they have persecuted him whom you yourself have struck down, and they recount the pain of those whom you have wounded. Add iniquity to their iniquity, and may they not come into your righteousness. May they be blotted out of the book of life, and may they not be recorded with the righteous. But I am afflicted and in pain. May your salvation, O God, set me securely on high. I will praise the name of God with song, and magnify him with thanksgiving. And this will please Yahweh better than an ox, or a young bull with horns and hooves. The humble see it and are glad. You who seek God, let your heart revive, for Yahweh hears the needy and does not despise his who are prisoners. Let heaven and earth praise him, the sea and everything that moves in them. For God will save Zion and build the cities of Judah, that they may dwell there and possess it. The seed of his slaves will inherit it, and those who love his name will dwell in it. And now 1 Corinthians 14. Pursue love, yet earnestly desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For one who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God, for no one understands, but in his spirit he speaks mysteries. But one who prophesies speaks to men for edification and exhortation and encouragement. One who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but one who prophesies edifies the church. But I wish that you all spoke in tongues, but even more that you would prophesy. And greater is one who prophesies than one who speaks in tongues, unless he translates, so that the church may receive edification. But now, brothers, if I come to you speaking in tongues, what will I profit you unless I speak to you either by way of revelation or of knowledge or of prophecy or of teaching? Yet even lifeless things, either flute or harp, in producing a sound, if they do not produce a distinction in the tones, how will it be known what is played on the flute or on the harp? For if the trumpet produces an indistinct sound, who will prepare himself for battle? So also you, unless you utter by the tongue a word that is clear, how will it be known what is spoken? For you will be speaking into the air. There are, perhaps, a great many kinds of sounds in the world, and none is without meaning. If, then, I do not know the meaning of the sound, it will be to one who speaks a barbarian, and the one who speaks will be a barbarian to me. So you also, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, seek to abound for the edification of the church. Therefore, let one who speaks in a tongue pray that he may translate. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. What is the outcome then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the mind also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the mind also. Otherwise, if you bless only in the spirit only, how will the one who fills the place of the uninformed say the amen at your giving of thanks, since he does not know what you are saying? For you are giving thanks well enough, but the other person is not edified. I thank God that I speak in tongues more than you all. However, in the church I desire to speak five words with my mind, so that I may instruct others also, rather than 10,000 words in a tongue. Brothers, do not be children in your thinking. Rather, in evil be infants, but in your thinking be mature. In the law it is written, by men of strange tongues and by the lips of strangers I will speak to this people, and even so they will not listen to me, says the Lord. So then, tongues are for a sign, not to those who believe, but to unbelievers. But prophecy is for a sign, not to unbelievers, but to those who believe. Therefore, if the whole church assembles together and all speak in tongues, and uninformed men or unbelievers enter, will they not say that you are out of your mind? But if all prophesy, and an unbeliever or an uninformed man enters, he is convicted by all. He is called to account by all. The secrets of his heart are disclosed, and so he will fall on his face and worship God, declaring that surely God is among you. What is the outcome then, brothers? When you assemble, each one has a psalm, has a teaching, has a revelation, has a tongue, has a translation. Let all things be done for edification. If anyone speaks in a tongue, it should be by two or at most three, and each in turn, and one must translate. But if there is no translator, he must keep silent in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. And let two or three prophets speak, and let the others pass judgment. But if a revelation is made to another who is seated, the first one must keep silent. For you can all prophesy one by one, so that all may learn and all may be exhorted. And the spirits of prophets are subject to prophets. For God is not a God of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. The women are to keep silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak, but are to subject themselves, just as the law also says. But if they desire to learn anything, let them ask their own husbands at home, for it is disgraceful for a woman to speak in church. Was it from you that the word of God first went forth, or has it arrived to you only? If anyone thinks he is a prophet or spiritual, let him recognize that the things which I write to you are the Lord's commandment. But if anyone remains ignorant of this, he is ignored by God. Therefore, my brothers, earnestly desire to prophesy, and do not forbid to speak in tongues, but all things must be done properly and in an orderly manner. This is the word of the Lord. Now the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And now the Collect for Grace. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, who has safely brought us to the beginning of this day, defend us in the same with thy mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings may be ordered by thy governance to do always that is righteous in thy sight, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. All right, well, we are continuing to look at the Frankfurt Declaration of Christian and Civil Liberties in depth. Last Wednesday was the last time we looked at it, and we looked at Article 1, which is God the Creator as sovereign lawgiver and judge. Today we're going to look at Article 2, as God as the source of truth and the role of science. This is a very important article again. This whole statement is important. It really is. And I pray that it will be widely adopted by the church. Not only widely adopted by the church, but that it would be presented to governing authorities everywhere. Congresses and parliaments, presidents and kings. Let us read it now. This is Article 2. God is the source of truth and the role of science. We affirm that God, the Creator, is the truth, and that therefore objective truth exists and can be derived from his revelation in Scripture and nature, and from any facts which can be credibly verified. We endorse science, which seeks to discover, through the scientific method and debate, the truths that God has built into the natural world. We also affirm the limitations of science, including its inability to speak authoritatively on areas outside its purview and its propensity to err when data is lacking. Since man has fallen into sin, we further affirm that all his thoughts, deductions, and institutes contain degrees of corruption which tend to distort, manipulate, or suppress the truth. We therefore deny that human governments are morally and ideologically neutral and always know or seek what is good for their citizens, and that their narrative should be unconditionally trusted. We reject any deception, fear-mongering, propagandizing, and indoctrination by the state and mass media, and all reporting on critical world issues which is premature, selective, or ideologically manipulative. We further reject the assertions of any so-called scientific consensus, which abandons the scientific method and ignores or suppresses the concerns of dissident voices. We likewise reject scientism, since, when scientific findings correctly describe a particular phenomenon, they cannot adequately and normatively address complex social realities or prescribe policies that have ethical implications. So important. God is true. God is the source of all truth. All that God has revealed is true, and all truth, which is, as I said, credibly verified, is from God. But, you know, man errs. Science errs. You know, think about some of the stuff that science has said over the years. I look back on the Scopes trial from the 1920s, which was the trial of the science teacher in Tennessee put on trial for teaching evolution. When you read the transcripts of the trial, when the evolution experts are brought in, every piece of evidence that they brought forth as proof of evolution has since been discredited. Every one of them. They included Piltdown Man, which was a forgery, and Nebraska Man, which was actually entirely derived from a pig's tooth. So, science is often wrong. And when it is wrong, it needs to be rejected. We must understand that science is limited. Science is limited to an examination of the physical world now. Science is not infallible, and science is not universal, meaning there are things that cannot be scientifically examined. For instance, you cannot scientifically verify that Napoleon Bonaparte was Emperor of France or that Abraham Lincoln was President of the United States. Those cannot be scientifically verified because they are outside the realm of science. Science is concerned with the repeated examination and verification of something in the laboratory. Historical events are not repeatable. I can't go back and repeat breakfast this morning. Now, I could eat a second breakfast, very Hobbit-like, but I can't repeat breakfast. I can't go back and do over what I've already done. So the repeatability and verifiability of historical events is non-existent. Therefore, they are not scientifically available for examination. We can't go into a laboratory and recreate the presidency of Abraham Lincoln. So God, the Creator, is the truth. And all truth that exists comes from God, whether it is derived from Scripture or whether it is revealed in nature and discovered by science. All truth comes from God. But because man errs and because man's thought processes are affected by the fall, the statement denies that human governments are morally or ideologically neutral. Governments are made up by men. Men all have a bias. I have a bias. You have a bias. Congress has a bias. Parliament has a bias. Every member of the media has a bias. The neutral observer is a myth. Just as the unbiased reporter is a myth. Everyone has a bias. You do, I do. The best thing we can do is be honest about our bias so that people can critically examine what we say. Because human governments are made up by people, they are not neutral. And because they are not neutral, they do not always seek or know what's good for their own citizens. And so we shouldn't trust government unconditionally. We shouldn't trust what government says unconditionally. And so, according to the statement, we reject any deception, fear-mongering, propagandizing, and indoctrination by the state and mass media. There's been much propagandizing in the last few years. And it stated in the introduction that we looked at last week that this is a document that arises out of the COVID crisis of the last couple of years. Mainly the fact that the government overreach and the misinformation that was spread. And I was talking to somebody this weekend just passed, that everything that would have gotten you kicked off of Facebook and Twitter 2 years ago has now been shown to be true. Masks didn't work. Lockdowns didn't work. The vaccines aren't working. The virus originated in the virology lab in Wuhan, China, not because somebody was eating a bat or any of the stories that we heard. Ivermectin worked. Hydroxychloroquine worked. We had effective treatments for this virus early on that were discredited and ignored because they didn't advance the agenda of increasing government control. The globalists and the totalitarians seized upon a disease, COVID, which technically, by the original definition of pandemic, wasn't even a pandemic. And they seized on that and they used that to advance their agendas. That was fear-mongering, deception, propaganda, and indoctrination. And that is to be rejected. So then rejecting critical reporting on critical world issues that is premature, that's before getting all the facts, selective, only reporting on certain of the facts, or ideologically manipulative, only reporting certain facts or presenting one side of an issue in order to advance a political cause. We further reject the assertions of any so-called scientific consensus, which abandons the scientific method and ignores or suppresses the concerns of dissident voices. Science, the scientific method, that things are to be tested and reviewed means that in order to be scientific, you cannot suppress those who disagree. You have to present their sides as well, or allow them to present their sides, because science really isn't driven by consensus. Science should be driven by evidence and argument. And silencing one or the other side of an argument, any side of an argument or a discussion about something scientific, means that you're not allowing all the evidence to be presented. Because when somebody comes out with a scientific position, those who oppose it should be able to argue against it, so that the rest of the scientific community and the public at large can look at these arguments and try to and make their own sense of them. And if you only present one side, that is manipulative. If you ignore or suppress the concerns of those in the opposition, you are rejecting the scientific method. Flat out. Science doesn't silence dissent. Silence considers dissent. And then the statement goes on to say we reject scientism because even when scientific findings correctly describe a particular phenomenon, they cannot adequately and normatively address, complex social realities or prescribe policies that have ethical implications. Scientism is a belief that only science is the source of truth and that science is the source of all truth. We have to reject that because God is the truth. Therefore, anyone with a counterclaim that they are the truth is speaking contrary to God. Science is wonderful for what it's good at. But when science steps outside of its own realm, it can be horribly destructive because there is a unfounded surety, an undeserved surety in quote-unquote scientific proclamation. So when science steps outside of its realm, science can't make proclamations of right and wrong. That lies outside the purview of science. Science can tell me, how to, science can tell me that what minerals make up a rock accurately and reliably. Science can't reliably tell me where that rock came from. Science can't explain the origin of life or the origin of matter. Only God can do that because only God was there. And that's a historical event, which we've just seen can't be scientifically examined. So science has its limitations. And so we cannot, we have to reject those aspects of science. All right, well, there's plenty of scriptural proofs showing that either God is the source of truth or that man and his thoughts are corrupted by sin. And that's really the position of every one of these scriptural proofs. I'm not going to go through them. The declaration is linked in the show notes. And if you go to that link and you look at Article 2, which is what we've been reviewing today, you will see those scriptural proofs. And I encourage you, as I did last Wednesday, to sit down with an open Bible and sit down with this declaration, the Frankfurt Declaration. Go through the scriptural proofs. See how they apply, because they do. I've read through them. I'm just not going to review them because we've gone on long enough. All right, folks. That is Squirrel Chatter for Tuesday. Hope you have a great day. Remember, do the things you ought to do. Don't do the things you ought not do. Whatever you do, do it for the glory of the Lord. We'll see you again here tomorrow for another episode of Squirrel Chatter. Take care. God bless.
Squirrel Chatter is recorded in front of a live studio hamster.